Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Good Spirit Normal. We got a powerhouse tonight. We got Pinal and Berg hanging out. It's like a law firm.
Yeah, it is. It's great to be back with the diamond and silk of Paranormal Podcast.
Oh Lord, oh no.
Coming out swinging, dude.
Wow.
I have nothing better than
wow. Okay.
Oh man.
Him and I are the Gilmore Girls, though.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we got some things we're going to talk about tonight. But first, I thought we'd just sit down and just chat a little bit. How you guys been? What's been going on since Strange Realities of last year?
Steve, you go ahead. You got more going on than me.
I got something going on too.
I mean, nothing out of the ordinary. Just work. Blah blah blah. Am I into anything? I'm excited about this Armin Victorian mini documentary that was released because I was obsessively trying to watch it for like 15 years. Do you guys know about that? I'm going to do Radio Mysterioso on Wednesday or tomorrow and talk about it. But like, I don't. Well, we can get to it later. But anyways, that's what I've been excited about in terms of like stuff in the realm of what we all discuss.
No, what is it? What is this?
Well, Armin Victorian was kind of this elusive person in ufology in the early 90s and late 80s. He's from like an Armenian Russia and somehow moved, and ended up, he was arrested for being an orchid smuggler, but he was moved to England and like infiltrated the UFO scene there. And then like within 6 months, somehow he was getting all these like high ranking CIA people and like other ufologists. Like it was taping their phone calls. One was like Ed Dames. And for a while you could find these old phone calls, but it was really weird. This guy like made a huge splash. He ended up like going to prison for not paying his phone bills, but he had like four aliases. And like, he's just this kind of almost like Gene Shelby Downard like type figure in ufology in the 90s, but there was never a whole lot of information about him.
Yeah, I never heard of him.
He was around for a short while, made kind of a splash, but it was over in England, so we didn't hear about it too much. Mm-hmm. But John Lundberg and Mark Pilkington, who were kind of behind Mirage Men, yeah. John Lundberg made this documentary about Armin Victorian that was kind of like stuck in the BBC archives for like 15 years. Cause I was emailing him once a year saying like, any luck, getting a copy of it? He's like, no, man. But finally last week it was released cause the BBC is like, opened up their archives for a limited time. So highly recommend checking it out. It's called The Mythologist. It's like 25 minutes long, unfortunately, but it was.
Is it on any streaming services?
Gosh, I want to say it's on YouTube, but I watched it through a link that John Lundberg sent via Twitter, and it was like on a BBC archive.
A lot of times those don't work in the States. Like,
yeah, this one definitely did because I clicked on it like right away and cool. Like dropped everything I was doing and watched it. And
share that link.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I will. Absolutely. No doubt.
Yeah. I've never heard of this. I have no idea.
Yeah. It's like, it was one of those white whales I had for a long time. So nice. It was like, it was pretty thrilling for me to finally see it.
I'll have to check awesome. That out. I haven't been doing shit. I went to California to visit family for Thanksgiving and then went to Vermont for a weekend in December before the holidays and did the holidays and here we are. I'm kicking around a relaunch of Banal of America.
Yeah.
Ish. It's funny. Last night I was like thinking about it and I'm like, oh shit, I think I started like 20 years ago. Maybe maybe I started 20 years ago. So I'm like, well, if that's the case, then I'm going to relaunch in April with like a big fucking 20 thing. Then I looked and it's like, no, you started in 2005. So I'm not going to wait 2 years to fucking relaunch. So we'll do some big thing in 2 years. But the hope is to get something more like what we're doing tonight, even though people listening at home now are going to hear the podcast part, but like just run the whole operation in a more modern digital fashion. Some visual, probably sometimes not, maybe kind of like what you guys do.
Cool. Well, I think, a conversation that we had not too long ago, I think that, isn't Blog Talk Radio kind of on its way out? Is that what you're saying?
No, the site that hosted Been All in America went out, and then we moved it over to, I think, the one you recommended, Red Circle.
Yeah. I reckon. So,
I don't know if I can listen to Benal without the Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, Blog Talk Radio.
I could take it and just run it like during the show.
Yeah,
I'll that's all I end up getting sued by Blog
Talk. Do it for the nostalgia's sake.
Yeah.
Are you still going to use Blog Talk, though?
No, we were talking about it. I'm going to go with StreamYard and do live that way. Everything I have is like super antiquated. Like Blog Talk was like cutting edge, like 20 years
ago.
Like 5 or 10 years ago.
Right.
It was like the only place you could do a live internet radio show. And now it's like, nah, you can just do it like through YouTube. It's not even a problem anymore. So it's not worth the money and the hassle. And
it's so like, funny. You started that show when you were so young that it's really about a few months ago. I can't remember. It might have been the John Lear episode. I wanted to go back and listen to a guest you had on, and it was like season two, and you sound like a little baby boy. I am Tim. You sound so young. How young were you when you started? Like early 20s, probably, right?
So, I would have been 26, I think.
Just a little baby.
Yeah.
Dang.
I'd like to go back to that.
Well, it sounds also like you've been doing some serious sleuthing on this these Idaho murders.
Yeah. I don't want to repeat everything because we just talked about it, but
it's secret. Yeah.
I got really into the Idaho quadruple murder case that's winding now. They arrested the guy, so it's kind of if they hadn't arrested the guy, I probably would have a lot of like crazy theories and shit, but it seems kind of like cut and dry. I'm looking forward to seeing how the trial pans out. And, I'm really into true crime more than the paranormal these days. So it was funny. Cause after Strange Realities. Yeah. I'm really into the Delphi case too, which is this one with these two girls. They were on the end of this bridge in Indiana, I think. And like they filmed this dude coming down the bridge at them.
What's that? Recent? Is this recent?
No, this was like 5 years ago.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
And they filmed like this. They filmed the murderer like on his way down the bridge. And like they vanished. They disappeared. Then later their bodies were found. And it was like no one knew who the murderer was. And these cases they're interesting because they develop these huge online fan bases of people. And they have the craziest fucking theories. And if you get down the rabbit hole, you get more and more into it where you're like, oh, that is plausible that, and you get into all these things and they dig into like the craziest, most random parts of the story. I had Jenny Ashford, who you guys had at Strange Realities, I had her on But All America. We talked about it too, where it's like they obsess over these small details that oftentimes have nothing to do with the case. You know, where it's just like, well, how do you explain the opened pack of high C that was on the counter? And it was like, you don't. Someone just left it there. It's not connected to the murder at all. But it's like that you have like all these fan theories that are like, the high C is this fucking, that's the key to the whole case. The high C packet on the countertop. I'm telling you, if you just work backwards from there, it turns out it was the sheriff's son. You're like, oh, fuck. But it's funny. Those things are kind of crazy because people get like, I wouldn't want to even be tangentially, for all the obvious reasons, but I wouldn't want to even be tangentially related to like any of these cases because people get, these people online, they find a suspect and they like dig into this person. It's like, no, that guy didn't have anything to do with it. Like, I'll tell you a funny story with this Idaho thing. And it kind of might tie into what you want to talk about tonight, Surfiel, which is the true crime thing on TikTok is huge. And there's this alleged psychic on TikTok who is like She's like, I know who fucking did it. It's a professor at University of Idaho. And she was in a lesbian love affair with one of the kids.
totally wrong.
And she's fucking, now the professor's suing the TikTok psychic. She's
Yeah,
she's like, dude, you can't, I wasn't even like in the state when the, like, if you had just called me.
That's
crazy
though. I mean, like, I don't know. It's funny.
It's kind of like a modern lynch mob or something. Like,
that's exactly what it is.
Well, dude, and these lynch mobs can organize fast.
They're online.
It's like flash fire. It's so funny that you use the word. It's like ironic to me that you use the word. And it, you're right to use it. But fans of murders.
Right, right.
Oh, we, yeah, Delphi. Oh, it's got a lot of fans. It's an up-and-coming serial killer case.
Yeah, yeah.
Has a lot of promise, yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're fanatics, so that's
I mean, I think that is the right term for it, but it's just funny. I wonder if that says anything about today's society, or...
I don't know.
I guess there's always been fans of murders, though.
Well,
yeah, but now it's like it's a whole big thing.
It is. It's like a cottage industry.
It really is.
You know, it's really weird when you have like some young girl tell you, "Oh, I'm really excited to go see Ted Bundy's death car."
Yeah,
that's on display in Gatlinburg. You know, it's like that's really a strange thing when you think about who Ted Bundy killed.
Yeah,
right, right.
It seems it's very weird that you have like all this stuff that's really just talk about violence against women,
mm-hmm. right?
And these young women are really just kind of obsessed with it.
I think it's safe to say that a lot of this true crime fandom is dominated by women.
Yeah, it is pretty female. Yeah,
it is. Yeah. But you know, I tend to explain that as it being, it gives them a sense of empowerment of them trying to figure it out and how to figure it out.
That's what I know
happened to them, you know.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Or what to do. I've heard that.
It does get a little obsessive and a little disconcerting
right.
at times, too.
Like, you know, I don't see like the conspiracy fandom and true crime fandom. They're not terribly different, you know? I mean, right. like, and I'm not putting a blanket statement on all of, like, conspiracy theorists, and I know some, and they're perfectly fine people.
We know what you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah, you guys know what I'm talking about, but just maybe for the people listening. But, like, it is funny, because there is this fanaticism, and there is, like, this thing where it can kind of take over your life, and you know, it can become more than a rabbit hole. It can become just as part of, like, your waking reality, like, looking into this stuff. So it is, like, you know, and like, I wonder if fandom in general of everything is like on steroids nowadays, just because our access to people, and I don't know, it's weird. It's definitely rabid than ever.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Like, because you remember like when Lost was like the big thing?
Yeah.
That was like unique.
Yes.
Because people were so fucking into it. Now that's just kind of like the standard.
It
like,
is.
Mm-hmm. Like people get way into this stuff. No matter what,
you know, and I kind of think that goes back to like Lost is a wonderful example, because I kind of think, you know, in terms of network TV, that was kind of the end of the water cooler show era.
Right, right.
And so you wanted to talk about this thing that had this mystery and that you were trying to solve, but you could only do it when you went to work and, you know, with your colleagues. But now there's an echo chamber for everyone all over the place, all over the internet. So like if you're into UFO disclosure and UFO Twitter, well, there's 5,000 people who you can follow who are going to say the things exactly what you want to hear, you know,
all day long,
24 hours a day. But that was not so much the case, you know, mm-hmm. back in the early 2000s.
Right. And the other part is just, there's just a million podcasts now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's like, there's a podcast for everything. And
I
don't really follow like TV show podcasts, but I imagine mm-hmm. there must be like,
I think they're, you know, totally.
Oh, yeah. There are.
Yeah, there is.
So
like each week they break down the episode or whatever. I mean, there's like three or four, you know, a bunch for each different show. So it's like
there's things that I've been on that there's podcasts for, and I'm like, what? That's very weird.
They're talking about an appearance of Steve right now on some podcast.
Dude, who knows, man?
Binal, would you say that you took this recent emphasis on true crime, like in response to getting kind of burnout on some of the paranormal culture?
Yeah. I mean, I've always had an interest in true crime, but it was just kind of like, I've heard every theory for like every mystery out there. So it's like, you just kind of like, I think maybe I'm like a theory junkie, like not a conspiracy mm-hmm. theory junkie, but just a speculative junkie. So it's right. like, okay, what's, how do you, mysteries and speculation surrounding mysteries, it's mysteries. They're like just fucking mysteries. So it's like,
yeah,
you know, true crime, unsolved murders are, that's a, I was going to say that's a fantastic mystery. It is a fantastic mystery, but it's yeah. a horrible, tragic mystery. And,
yep.
You know, it's very bizarre. Like, you have to catch yourself. Like I said before, like these things have a lot of fans. People always say, well, my favorite case is, you know,
yeah.
is the one where the lady cut the baby out of the pregnant woman's stomach. That's a, it's like, that's your favorite case?
Like you would like that?
yeah. Like, Jesus Christ.
No, man. Dude, but you're right though. Like there, I think you actually like distilled it down in a really great way. Like, I think that mysteries, like I would say, I think you actually like made me just think, because I'm like, I am attracted to mystery. And high strange is kind of like the lens of mystery that I probably like look into the most. But
right.
You're right. I like true crime. Like I like, you know, like a missing plane, whatever, the Malaysian plane that we lost.
Yeah, I was just reading about that last
I'm
night.
Interested in that. So yeah. It's like, yeah, mysteries are, you know, I think they're like a wonderful, it's almost probably like embedded in our DNA to want to know the answers to things. So mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
The very like primal like urge to want to know, you know, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not like attracted to like the macabre aspect of it, really. It really is just more like the mystery. So it's mm-hmm. like, what happened mm-hmm. to this, you know, who done it, like who yeah. did, you know, who did this thing, and like, and why, like how oftentimes you're just like, why the fuck would, you know, why would someone do that? That's you know. I get you're a psycho, but even like your choice of displaying your psychoness is confounding to me, you know, man who cornered two teenage girls at the end of a fucking bridge in broad daylight. Like, what the fuck were you like, what were you thinking, bro? Yeah. Like, is it yeah. that uncontrollable that you fucking would do something so crazy? And, you know,
yeah. How does someone get here? That's the
right, the
fascinating part for me is like, how exactly do you get from this to that?
Well, yeah. A lot of these, like, investigators, especially ghost hunters and people like that, fashion their whole shtick off of like an occult detective kind of thing. So they're like yeah. Sherlock Holmes or Carnacki, and you know,
yeah,
that's it's real kind of the same thing. But yeah, I think to be honest, I mean, me and Adam have been getting pretty burned out on a lot of the paranormal UFO conspiracy cultures for a while. I mean, I've been getting into
that's
all this.
Like, when you, that's really great when you do a conspiracy paranormal podcast. It's really great to motivated to go ahead and do it almost every week.
It's kind of the same thing has happened to me, where I've gotten like really into this like treasure hunting lore and some historical mysteries and like Jesse James and stuff like that, just because it's kind of like, it's refreshing and doesn't feel like it has as many like negative real world consequences.
Right. And I think like I think the four of us have been around the block long enough time where it's just like, you've just heard everything.
Yeah.
You really have heard everything. And what's, and there's nothing new. There's a lot new happening with UFOs and shit, but it's just like, it's not the UFOs that we grew up with. It's like,
it's not the UFOs that we love.
Yeah. Right. It's like these are fucking drones, dude. Can we stop like pretending these are aliens? Like, yeah. And just get serious here and get back to trying to find the aliens? Like
yeah.
And I don't know, they're out there. Whatever that intelligence is, it's still there. It's not what the fucking government's talking about.
Yeah, you don't want to, like, I probably, because I haven't had a podcast for years like all of you, I still can, like, Tim, you know this, I'm still, like, a wide-eyed kid with this stuff.
Right, you love this stuff.
I do, I love it so much. I still, like, it's all I read about, almost, which, not all I read, but quite a bit. But a lot of this stuff, like, it almost, like, since TTSA and all that, kind of like the now UFO Twitter stuff, it's like your parents listening to your music.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds like old man Berg, just, you know, talking about the bygone era, but like there's nothing punk rock about UFOs and paranormal right now. Like, I kind of miss that because I think it was like those were inextricably linked when I was growing up. Like,
yeah,
the punks were talking about like UFO stuff and like, you know, like paranormal weird stuff, you know, like at least I'm from, you know, like, so it's like they kind of went hand in hand when I was growing up.
A lot of this has to deal with just the fact that like, everything is about content with really all these like giant companies and apps. And so anything that, you know, gets engagement, like all these weird mysteries, speculative stuff, UFOs, paranormal stuff is great for the algorithms. And they're just like eating it up. And then, you know, people are trying to cash in on it with all this content. A lot of people are, you know, totally outside the culture. And I really want to do the show and talk about this stuff because I feel like I've been targeted by these algorithms, which with such terrible,
a targeted individual,
such terrible shit that I can't even like believe.
Where?
And a lot of it's coming through these like, reels and,
The reels are, I'm targeted big time
on Instagram.
Yeah.
Instagram and the YouTube. What is the name of the YouTube small clips?
Shorts or whatever.
The shorts. Yeah. And I'm not on TikTok, but I'm sure if I was, this would be happening too. Cause a lot of these are like recycled, you know, fake TikToks. You know, all these platforms talk about how they want to curb extremism and all this stuff, but it's like,
no, they don't.
Some of the worst, like extremist adjacent, like just terrible bullshit I can even imagine. And I just feel like it's so just out of control. And for someone who's like maybe a little unstable and in danger of going down the rabbit hole, like this stuff is just made for that, you know, little 30-second bursts of just this crazy shit.
Am I the only one? Is Adam flickering wildly right now?
He is.
Okay, you're going to give me a fucking seizure, dude. Yeah. I'm like going to roll my hand up like this.
It's like flashing green. No.
Is that your webcam? They don't want
you. That's a little weird. That was a little weird.
They don't want you to know.
They don't want you to know.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry, Serfiel. That was just like, it was getting worse.
Yeah, no. It looks like one of those shitty little videos. It'll have like this this little back, creepy, eerie background music and like something about the firmament or Tartaria or something.
Well, you see, like, you know, they try to tell you that it's really from the World's Fair, but it's really the remains of ancient Tartaria.
Yep. Of course. The mud flood, dude.
Yeah, the mud flood. You know, the ancient Tartarians who were in Russia.
Oh my God, I have a friend. He's a good buddy. I'm not gonna name his name, but like me and some of my friends, we all took a trip together right before COVID, and like we were, you know, like it was late night, and we were feeling the vibe, and he like all of a sudden like confessed to us that he 100% buys all this Tartarian stuff. Oh my God. And we were all like, we thought it was a bit for like an hour, but he was like just going to town on it, and we were like, oh man. And yeah, he's gone down some rabbit holes now.
You know, it's funny is the Tartaria stuff was like, I heard about that right at the tail end of the Flat Earth conference. That was like what they were, oh, come here, you know, I was kind of whispering about. It was like, you can kind of tell the ones who were ready to jump off the Flat Earth ship, they were kind of like talking about Tartaria like in the corner and shit, and I'm like,
which one of you guys can summarize Tartaria for like, or that whole
I bunch. Can maybe do a super shitty thumbnail.
I think Tim should do it.
Maybe. I think it was like the idea that there was an ancient civilization or something, and it was wiped out by mud floods, and they covered it all up. And part of the theory or thing is like, a lot of times they use pictures from like the old World's Fair where they like reconstructed ancient castles and shit, and they're like, those were reconstructions, those were the real things, and they were in St. Louis or whatever. And it's like, it's very that's the super basic version, but it's like, I think it's like there's an ancient civilization that got wiped out by like mud
flood. Here's what's key to understanding this whole Tartaria thing is that it's something that they say that it was in Russia.
Okay.
Our modern day Russia, it's Russian propaganda. It's Russian propaganda flooding the internet.
Wow.
They want you to believe it's somehow What it's really saying is Russia is the cradle of civilization.
I see. Yeah, like Russia was like where. Yeah. We're like how everybody attributes like big things to like Rome and Greece, and it's like no, there was actually like a Rome or like a Rome and a Greece in Russia called Tartaria, and it's like no, actually, it turns out that was just a giant swamp.
Like, you know, I remember my friend when he was like giving his like big monologue about all this, and we were all like mouth agape. He kept on using the term, which I still think is so funny, Antiquitech. I guess that was like ancient technology that they found, but he kept on saying it like it's like a real thing. I'm like,
that sounds very steampunk.
Yeah, it does. He's like, they found Antiquitech. And I'm like, what are you talking about, man? Like,
well, it's also, I mean, it also fits in with the Graham Hancock stuff too.
Yeah.
You know, you could make a parallel to that, but
with
the Tartaria stuff, they're not even trying. I mean, if you're taking pictures, it's obvious from the World's Fair.
Just decontextualizing them. I mean, this stuff is like
completely
well recorded, like in every city's archives, and you can find out who built this stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, it's a pretty whacked out.
It's whacked theory. Out. Yeah.
It's kind of like the one. There's like ones that are like the Dark Ages never happened. Have you heard that conspiracy theory? It's like something weird like that, where it's like there's actually like a 500 year gap, like between the year 900 and 1400, and actually never happened, and they invented it, put it in there. So it's like there's a whole conspiracy built around.
That was invented by the Prussians. It was invented by the Western
weird nationalist shit.
Yeah.
For sure. And if you look at that. Once again, that's a Russian thing.
Weird. They're really bad at conspiracy theories.
Because they're not good.
Seem to be good. They're working.
They're very good at implementing them in our minds.
They know it's bullshit.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the point.
Yeah, maybe they're out there over in Russia being like, fucking Bigfoot, really?
Well, like, yeah.
These people believe that shit. Like,
they'll believe in the mud flood. Oh, trust me.
Yeah.
You see, Bigfoot was the race that had to leave Tartaria.
See, but if you have a significantly different alternative view of reality, then you need an alternate timeline in history. You need an alternate map. You need, need to fill in the gaps with that stuff. But I think what we're talking about is like these weird emerging belief systems that are like these clusters of all these different disparate subjects and mysteries, but these are like becoming these solid belief systems that are all intertwined versus I think what we're talking about at the beginning of the show, like what we like is mysteries and embracing mysteries. It's fun to try to solve them, but you may not, and that's okay.
Right.
But like these emerging belief systems, you know, especially on the internet, you know, through all these mediums, it's exact opposite. It's like a belief system. And if you believe one part of it, everyone just assumes, oh, well, then if you're into this, you know, you're into Bigfoot, you're into this, you must be into Tartaria, you must be into, COVID stuff, you must be into this and that. And it just kind of, it's really weird. And I think we've all lost friends to it.
Yeah, you made a great point, I think, right there. You made a really nice distinction to where, like, I think there is, like, different, like, you know, there are probably people out there who don't understand this stuff at all and would probably listen to us and go, oh, they're just conspiracy theorists, UFO nuts, you know? Like, but we're I think, like, what you're saying, like, we're not nothing, just us, but there is a number of these people who have a knowledge of conspiracies or UFOs or high strangeness. But they're not the believers. Like, you could be interested in the psychology of stuff that you find absolutely abhorrent.
Right.
Such as serial killers, right? I don't believe that all people who are fascinated with true crime are sick in the head. I think they like mysteries.
Exactly.
Like us. And, like, you know, like, even as a kid, the JFK assassination fascinated me way more than my friends. But I wasn't like a wackadoo. I wasn't like having a problem like going about society or wasn't changing like
my moral
compass. You know, like what your distinction was so great because you said, and I hopefully I'm summarizing it right, that they're into a belief system, not the mystery. It's not a mystery to them because they have figured it out.
Exactly. They're not asking questions. They already have the answers.
They have the answers. So
that's like, that's called a religion. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And so conspiracy theory, like at least the modern mainstream conspiracy theory, is more a belief system than it is mystery chasers. Kind of how it used to be. Like exactly. Ken Thomas, you know, like kind of those old school guys like that. I don't think Ken, I mean, maybe, you know, I don't know his work super well, but like, he's not like a QAnon wackadoo.
You know?
Was like a very intellectual person who liked mysteries about like weird America.
Yeah, like I'm super tight with Adam Gorightly, and he's like totally far away from QAnon shit as possible. But like, if you in the mainstream, they think that they call that conspiracy theory. Would. Steve, you made an excellent point that it really should be just called conspiracy fucking belief.
It is.
It's conspiracy belief. Like they don't go, oh, I think maybe the Democrats or Satan is the child leftist.
They know that.
They are. They know they are. So it's like, well, then you're not a theorist. You're a fucking believer.
That's you know, that's their Robert Anton Wilson reality tunnel. They have like that is reality to them.
Right.
But Gorightly, obviously, like you said, is the perfect example of a distinction. You know, I think we probably all fall under the Gorightly camp, where we're just fascinated by weird characters and weird belief systems and ideas and mysteries. But then there's the people, like you said, Serpiel, who are just into, you know, bolstering their belief system.
And like this, I feel like this belief system it's really particular too. Like what's coming out from all this is this like really like anti-woke bro belief system, you know, I'm calling it, of, you know, all this speculative thought mixed in with some of this like manosphere red pill stuff mixed in with like more right-leaning politics and this anti-hero worship stuff with like your Elon Musks and your Kanye's. And it's just, it's really bad. And I just, I really want to get together because I think we're all kind of on the same page. And if Conspiranormal does anything, I really want to just show people there's like another way, you know, and you could be someone who like, who challenges official narratives or, you know, believe like looks into mysteries and without just like going over into what I feel like is this like super rigid way of thinking. People think they're being anti-establishment by becoming a part of this stuff, but it's like really rigid.
Yeah. You know, and I read a great article on it.
All right. Well, let me ask you a question, Serpiel, because so you're saying the algorithms, I don't want to get too technical here, but you're saying the algorithms are like pushing this shit on you. So how am I don't think I'm doing it right. Cause I just like, when I want to watch something on YouTube, I just go watch it and then I leave. Like, do you just get on and I'm not like, this is not a judgment thing. I'm like I said, maybe I just, you see, just get on and watch something and then watch whatever the fuck they show you next.
After you watch a few things, you know, you start having suggested lists.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I mean, it's
I just ignore that shit, but I could, you know,
it's ultimately my fault because as kind of like a Discordian, I like looking at weird people with weird beliefs that I definitely don't adhere to.
Yes.
But as a, you know, kind of sociological experiment, I'm like, wow, look at this nutcase. Let me listen to him rant for a while.
I can totally see that.
It is fascinating. Yeah, yeah. And I actually think it's like good to know about this stuff.
Yeah.
Because you hear about how the toxicity of YouTube and these social media sites, but you need to experience it. Like, I mean, I actually feel like, you know, just don't hear about Alex Jones. Listen to what he's actually doing. Just as a sample, like it is way worse
than
you know, like and that's the point, is that like, oh, I hear he's like a real bad guy in Sandy Hook.
I want to understand things that I don't agree with, and you know, and I've always looked into these extreme points of view and wanted to understand why people thought the way that they did. It doesn't like win me over, but it helps me understand and kind of reverse engineer like a lot of this thinking.
Right.
But yeah, so it's my fault. Like I started it by looking at the stuff, and now it's like, oh, okay, here you go. But the way it's just doing it so voraciously, it's like,
welcome to my world, dude. It's like, I just wanted to find out who these flat earthers were. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, you're like a flat earth guy. It's like,
no,
I'm fucking
wanted
to know who they were.
I'm reporting on it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
One thing in particular too is with, because, you know, like anyone who knows me, like I'm a hip hop guy. So a long time ago, when Facebook was like first starting to demographically identify people, you know, I looked at my little profile they had for me, and it was like, said I had an African-American cultural affinity. And so I was like, oh, that's funny, you know. So, you know, I'm looking at maybe like rapper interviews or all kinds of different hip hop things like that. And so I've always been pretty tied into American Black culture. But within that is like a lot of alternative spirituality, what they call like the conscious community. Uh-huh. And within that, you know, there definitely is a lot of extremism, a lot of anti-Semitism, all kinds of bad stuff too. But a lot of these sites and algorithms seem to have this kind of blind eye to that. So like in wake of the Kanye shit, I was getting so many like straight up videos about like praising Hitler pretty much and stuff. Jeez. Like pushed at me. I think the algorithm's like, oh, well, this is Black people doing it, so it can't be bad. And just like, it was really crazy.
That's really harmful. And that is weaponizing hate and profiting off it. The new pharmaceutical industry is like these algorithms. I mean, they are making money hand over fist by really poisoning society.
All these like fringe hateful beliefs that I was familiar with before, I just saw with that be just projected like I'd never seen, and like just mainstreamed. Weird. You know, from all these like really kind of isolated speculative communities. And then a lot of those content creators were taking advantage of that moment to use those clips with Kanye and stuff to like push their stuff. It was just like, wow, this is like, thanks Google, thanks YouTube, thanks Instagram and Meta, whatever it's called. Like, oh yeah, you guys are really doing a great job curbing extremist content. Like, but it was terrible. I couldn't believe it. Like,
yeah, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, that's pretty fucked. That's like, it's you wonder where like the buck stops, in a sense, where it's like, these people, do they not know that these things are fucking doing this? Or like, I guess they just don't care. But at some point, it's like, at what point are you going to fucking, you know?
So that's what I'm saying, is like, it will use anything.
You know, I've heard stories, like mainstream stories, not like on the internet, but yeah, like a regular publication, of like, they had like a facility in Arizona that was like Facebook fucking moderators.
Yeah.
If anyone heard this story, you know what I'm talking about. But like it was like an office building with like a couple hundred people, and they would come into work and they would do the moderating. So when people flagged shit on Facebook, they would be the ones who got the note or whatever. And they said they saw so much horrifying shit.
Oh, I know what you're talking
like,
about.
That they needed therapy. They like demanded like an on-site counselor. Cause they're like, they would come in and be like bombarded with fucking murders and sex shit and snuff stuff and, you know, who knows what, scat, I don't fucking like whatever, like
they're looking at, you know, everyone,
just crazy shit all the time. The
shadow self of human society, man, is like what they're sifting through for a job. That is not a healthy way to conduct your life.
A lot of them have ended up having PTSD. Serfiel's talking about, I mean, he's really talking about the algorithms. He's talking about just like, there's no human beings involved.
No.
Right.
I mean, this is how advanced that this is, that it just spits it right back out.
And it's decontextualized. So if it's not as explicit as it needs to be in like keywords, like this episode right here, you know, could never be monetized because of all the words we're saying, like QAnon, etc., like Tataria,
at least 2 dozen F-bombs.
Yeah, but I mean, in particular, like QAnon, Tataria, I think those are like really, you know, bad words in particular.
They do that, but you still get these like 30 second, 15 second reels that'll show you
about how great Hitler is.
That's awful.
Oh, Jesus. That's going to be clipped now.
In a way, like, I guess, you know, maybe, and I have a very rudimentary understanding of technology and computer science and all stuff, but like, to me, there would be an argument to be made that like an algorithm is part of like a robot. it comes from a machine, whatever.
Right.
And so like the robots are starting to win because they are changing humanity in such a psychologically drastic way so fast. Yeah, well, I'm joking about that, using it as a metaphor, but like,
yeah,
it is funny. Like, we always imagine, like, you know, an alien takeover would be like the ship flying over the White House, or robots with guns and lasers. But like, no, they're doing it in a much more intellectual way.
Yeah,
it's funny you mention that.
Well, I was just gonna say, before I'll just let you jump in quick, Adam, but what we're talking about tonight feels eerily prescient, like it's tying into this AI shit that you're seeing all the time now. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, I haven't even touched that stuff, but I'm seeing it like everywhere, and apparently it can write stories now.
Oh, it's pictures. So bad.
I'm trying to stay completely away from it, but I've seen this outrage ball growing and growing and growing over what AI is doing, and it's like, between that and the fucking algorithms, which are kind of like an AI thing, it's like, actually gotten to the point they were warning us about, where they were like, you got to be fucking careful with this AI. It could get really fucking hairy. Like, are we getting to the part now where it gets hairy?
I think it's there. I mean, here's a quick little example just from like my line of work. A great friend of mine, she's pitching this movie, right? Like an indie, trying to get like $5 million, whatever. And she's having good success. But like, when she was pitching this other production company, who's a pretty big production company, was saying like, hey, actually what we want is like high concept high school movies. And she's like, whatever, okay. So I talked to her, I'm like, and she's like, I have like a day to come up with these. And she's like, I'm actually just going to use ChatGPT, you know, just an AI, and type in and see how many different ideas it gives me, and then I'll just, you know, kind of go with the best one. And I thought, I'm like, are you joking? She's like, no, that's the best way to do it. I was like, oh no, like it's going to be writing scripts. There's not going to be writer's rooms in 3 years. I mean, like, or 2 years. Like,
right, right. Yeah, it's like, yeah, we need an idea for this episode of the sitcom. And it's just like, we need Billy, a dog, and like some kind of wacky, they're trying
to feed in the plot line.
It's out eight different plots.
Yeah, it'll learn how the characters talk. I mean, it won't be hard.
Bulletin for the atomic scientists of the atomic scientists updated the doomsday clock today to 90 seconds to midnight.
Yep.
Nuclear war is not only the only thing that they talk about. They've added.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Climate change. One of the issues they're looking at now is AI and how it's gotten out of control.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So I guess the Cylon wars are coming up pretty quick.
Oh, boy.
Well,
I feel like
the natural extension of how the social media has fucked everything up.
Yeah.
It's just like.
Yeah. Right, right.
Yeah. You know, it's all started like 20 years ago when it was like, this internet's pretty awesome. And it just kind of kept getting more and more like more bad shit started coming up. It's still got a ton of cool shit. Look what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
But it's like,
I couldn't imagine being a young person today. I really couldn't. I couldn't imagine what it would be like, and the pressures, and like, you know, the how much loneliness has increased. Like,
the loneliness is a real factor. Yep. That makes me sad for young kids.
But yeah, I would try to avoid recommended shit, Surfia.
yeah,
that's kind of
It's just really surprising.
Well, for me, is like if I'm drunk and listening to music on YouTube, when they'll be like, "Oh, you like that Bachman Turner Overdrive? Try the CLO." That's like, all right, well, fuck, all right, you know what you're talking about, algorithm. But like, yeah, if I'm like looking up a Bigfoot video, then the next thing it's like some horrifying thing. I'm just like, no, I'm good, thanks. I don't want.
Yeah, it is weird. Like sometimes the algorithm is really great. Like I'll listen to like a Brian Jonestown Massacre album, you know, like album, and then I'll put like Echo and the Bunnymen, and then I'll just put like things that are like in the same kind of like,
yeah, it's good for music
genre. I bet it's sometimes I'm like, damn, you're a great DJ.
But the document, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's like if you're actually watching. This isn't a slam on you, sir. But maybe if you're watching like actually good documentaries, not whatever like Like, what, however you, not like, did we go to the moon or whatever, or what, like, if not like a conspiracy documentary or something, but if you're watching like a documentary about the Rolling Stones or whatever, maybe it'll recommend a good one there. But
you should be able to watch these things that you want to watch that you're curious about without being like,
yeah,
algorithm to death. Like, you know, like you said, like then all of a sudden someone espousing the positive points of Hitler. You're like, what?
Right. Exactly. It's just bizarre. It's just bizarre. Yeah. I don't understand. I mean, I get why they let it be online or whatever, but it's at the same time, it's like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, this is just wrong and poisonous to people. And oh, Jesus. Ooh. And
put all of them fell out of the chair.
And like, not like a lot of it's fucking like performative anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's like these people are, they're just taking advantage of, like you were saying, Sergio, like, They take these Kanye clips and just like roll them out because it's like it's a weird combination of like belief system and commerce where it's like they just want to jack up views.
At the end of the day, someone's selling something. Like it's your attention or it's some crypto shit, some kind of snake oil, some kind of MLM style. Something, you know, and everyone has advice. This is all like tied up in self-improvement shit too.
Yeah.
And just like people who need to be told what to think, I guess, and how to be successful. And it's,
you know, that's a good point. And I don't want to belabor this exact, you know, thread here too much, but like you kind of mentioned the self-help thing. I find just as troubling as the conspiratorial stuff. Or like the whacked out conspiracy theories. Because some of the self-help stuff that people are, you'll go and have like 50,000 likes. And the guy or the woman is just talking about like almost dangerous ways to go about your life. You know, it's like sometimes I'm here, I'm like, oh my God, this pop psychology. While it's fun to bat around pop psychology with your friends, to shout it out to the world and then 52,000 people take it as like good advice. That to me is very scary.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's just weird. It's just what remains is me. I feel like I'm very disconnected sometimes. Like Surfiel, you were saying, you don't even go on TikTok. I don't touch TikTok like ever. But there are people. I feel like I don't know who was joking earlier. Maybe it was Steve or Surfiel. But it's like I don't want to sound like an old man here, but it's just like I didn't really get YouTube. Like that's why I'm kind of confused about this getting recommended boot stuff. I heard TikTok's like even more. I heard they're super algorithmic.
All right,
that sounds almost like a Tartarian term.
So
algorithmic.
This is what has happened.
TikTok. Oh, Adam's gonna lay the fucking. Adam's about to lay some wisdom down. All right,
I am. I'm gonna lay some. Well, this is what how I see it. Like so, okay. TikTok kind of changed everything. With that really short attention span theater, like extremely short attention span theater. So to compete with TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, which basically the same thing, they started doing these reels type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So now there are these little short videos that you can scroll through real quick and you can, you know, you can look at them. So YouTube, Google, decided they were going to go ahead and compete with both of those. So now they have the same thing. You can scroll through these things. So that's what this is really what Surveil is talking about.
No, I know. Like I get
15 to 30 second reels, or maybe a minute long. It's appealing to the TikTok generation. So you see it more and more since TikTok came along.
Right. But I heard with TikTok, like it I don't know, because they're so short, the algorithm like blasts you right into the next one right away. And someone, I don't know who I was talking to the other day, but they were like, you just lose like 2 hours.
Yep.
And it's like, these are like minute long clips. So it's like, I can see how bad shit. And as you get more, you know, if you like, okay, this is a wacky flat earth video, then next thing you know, like, they start cycling in, you know, and to go back to what we were talking about with Tartaria, the TikTok, the whole thing is that this is a Chinese thing and a Chinese app. So it's like, maybe so they're running the algorithms on us, man. Like, you know, that's so you got the Russians putting out the conspiracy theories and the Chinese amplifying this stuff with the TikTok.
The West is an easy mark, I think.
Yeah, what
we're learning.
We're idiots.
We're idiots.
Well, and we're all, you know, like we're all on the same channels now. That's the thing. Like culturally, we're all pretty much from like a, you know, we're old. We're from these like radio dominated generations where kids were separated, you know, culturally based on basically radio stations. And, you know, people wanted something different. You had the whole left of the dial thing. You had college stations, all this kind of stuff. But like some people were real, real into wanting to seek out alternative information and like not be on the same channel as everyone else. But now like we're all on the same channel of the same companies. And yeah. So like no matter how alternative you think whatever you're pushing or consuming is, yeah, like it's just a piece of content for these giant corporations. Like
you're right. They're like the three, almost like Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook are like NBC, CBS, and ABC. You're just watching thinking that, shows. That is a really interesting way to break it down, sir.
The more it changes, the more it stays the same, really.
Yeah, you're right.
And so you don't have to seek out this stuff anymore. You know, like you might be in proximity to some of these crazy ideas and it's going to just like come at you when you would have had to have been, you know, up at 1 o'clock in the morning watching cable access or listening to Art Bell back in the day to come across something like that.
Yep. Yeah. And just hoping it and even within that stuff. So it's like there's, you know, there's like a zillion pieces of like, you know, UFO content, let's say. You can get so granular and specific with what part of the UFO topic you want to look into. So whereas like Art Bell back in the day, it's like you just kind of had to hope and cross your fingers that was an episode you were mildly interested in.
Right. Yeah.
Because I loved Art Bell, but like half the stuff I was like, I do not care about this topic, but I would still listen because it was the best option at the time. But like now it's like, I can always have ice cream sundaes every minute.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like,
well, can we get into the bro culture stuff?
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's what we're talking about, but just it's kind of what I'm getting at with the way this culture belief system is like crystallizing into this weird red pilled broed out kind of thing. And it's real adjacent to tech bros too. I think, is that what you're getting at, Adam? Like,
yeah, well, I mean, yeah, but you know, I'm talking about, yeah, we're talking about like bro culture in general.
Yeah. Like this new bro culture, the kind of Joe Rogan shit.
What do you mean? Joe Rogan, he's kind of like, is that kind of what you're
saying? Yeah. Joe Rogan.
Like knowledge bros. Like, dude, I work out hard and
Joe
Rogan is probably the most popular one, but lately, you know, Elon Musk has been really popular.
He's totally a bro.
It's like a contrarian kind of.
Yeah, I kind of know what you mean.
It's pseudo like intellectual masculinity thing.
Like, hyper-capitalistic. Yeah.
If you say the sky is blue, they're going to say, no, it isn't.
Yep.
Or why do you think that?
Yeah,
you know, it's that type of attitude.
Yeah, and the funny thing about them is that you can see psychologically they have such a low self-esteem because all they do is profess that I don't care what people think about me, dude. Right. All you care about is what people think about you. It's like you know, they're obsessed.
I would also add in people like Andrew Tate.
Yeah.
The guy
just someone that just, you know, has only been on my radar for probably about a year.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Andrew Tate is one of these guys that is very much he's the pickup culture type. You know, be a strong man. This is the red pill stuff. This is the manosphere stuff. He draws from that, right?
Yeah.
Well, lo and behold, you know, I see a video with Andrew Tate talking with his brother. This is before, you know, he got arrested for sex trafficking, which is a point I want to get to. But like, before that, he's talking about the satanic pedophiles.
Yeah, of course.
And the satanic pedophiles rule the elite. So here's this cross-cultural stuff between QAnon and Pizzagate type material, and now the manosphere, Andrew Tate, be a strong man, pick up women, do whatever you want to them.
You know
that it's all jumbled together now, and just you put it in a blender and you just
mix it up. I have this thought and idea that, like, obviously Rogan was the one who, like, pushed it, this kind of like broism or this bro culture, to the mainstream. But I was never, like, I was always really turned off by the 9/11 truthers and their aggro behavior. Like, I remember just seeing, like, the protests they would have, and they were super bro-y, man. It was mostly, like, white dudes who were, like, beating their chests, holding signs, demanding the truth. And, like,
Alex Jonesy.
Yeah, and they were very, very aggressive about it. And you're right. I bet that came out of, like, Alex Jones was probably the big cheerleader at the time for that. But, like, that is when, I mean, and granted, like, I'm probably more familiar, you know, studied with the high strangeness part of all this stuff. But, like, that to me seems where things took a big shift. There was, like, a couple big shifts, obviously, like, you know, the internet proliferation of social media, Trump winning, Joe Rogan. It's not just one thing, but there was, like, this confluence of, like, dominoes that kept on falling to make this stuff bigger and bigger.
At the risk of getting too political, I would say that Trump changed the thing, where now it's like shitty people seem really comfortable being publicly shitty people.
Yes.
And it was like, maybe they were shitty before. Of course they were shitty before. But then now they just feel like they can be racist, sexist, homophobic. Yeah. It's transphobic.
It's become
xenophobic. They can be whatever they want. And it's like,
yes,
you know, they feel perfectly free to be fucking assholes.
And it's an asset to their brand. So it actually is.
Probably, right.
It's making, you know, whether it's, you know, and the thing is, like, there is no bad news, whatever, you know, like, or for, like, a movie or, like, a person. Any news is probably good for these people. You know, it seems like the more people talk about, like, a guy like Mike Flynn, the more we hear about him and the more, like, stature he gets, you know, like,
there, I find shitty people are really good master manipulators of this infosphere. Look, I should be in the Tartaria movement.
Yeah.
And this infosphere that we occupy, because I'm not taking you off the road of the bro thing, Adam, but I think it all ties together in a way.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you, it's been pointed out on Twitter by people who are a little sharp, pretty sharp. It's like, when you see these people like Boebert or Marjorie Taylor Greene, they seem to always make some malapropism that you're like, oh, she said Peachtree dish instead of Petri dish. She's such a fucking knucklehead. And it's like, she's doing that on purpose. She's purposely, it's the old wrestling trick. When the bad guy comes in the ring, if you ever watch closely, the good ones, when they get in the ring, when no one's supposed to be watching, they trip on the bottom rope and kind of look like an asshole. That's an old wrestling trick. That's what the bad guy does. It's the part of the theatrics. So it's like, so people will notice them. So that's what they do. They make these little mistakes, typos, shit like that. I mean, I'm not saying all the time, but I think it is calculated. And you get some of these other people. I read this today because they put Nick Fuentes, who is a super anti-Semitic,
nationalist,
just,
piece of
garbage, just really bad person. They let him back on Twitter, and somebody pointed out, it's like, this guy's deal is that he says the most insane things, and, like, somebody put, I think, so the example was like, women should have to wear burkas. Like, he'll say this crazy shit with the purpose of, like, 1,000 people amplifying it and being like, can you fucking believe this guy said that?
And then he's trending 2 hours later.
Yeah, in the hopes of, like, if 1,000 people see it, he can pick up 100 of those people who are going to be like, let me see more of that. Yep. So it's like, they don't even, like, it's...
Cable news does the same thing.
It's like, really, they work the system. Yeah. What's that?
Cable news does the same thing. I mean, you know, like...
Right. Yeah, yeah.
You know, they create politicians based on how good their news, you know, like,
right, exactly. It's like,
hey, if they're good for news, they will, you know, talk about them the entire time, whether it, you know, it's wonderful.
I do think this bro culture thing, I think it is, it manifested, I think, in this sort of new era of like freedom to be shitty, and combined with the more progressive that society is getting. It's part of this pushback from bros.
Yeah,
you know, it's they see their market share in the culture slipping, and they can't handle it.
Yeah, you know? I think that's a lot of it.
Yeah, I mean,
because it's very sexist. It's bro culture. It's misogynist, and it's like, you know, it's no coincidence that this is like women are becoming more empowered every day, and it's like, like that's where you can see it kind of what's fueling a lot of this. You know, it's like, hey man, you're going to be a part of the society or not, and then they're kind of like they're pushing back against progress.
I mean, we have a lot of, to circle back on like the, how the paranormal stuff feeds into all this, you know, we have a lot of friends who would say kind of the same thing that you said, Steve, where it's like, you know, they're like, well, you know, I'm just into the paranormal stuff. And as things got really crazy, especially like Trump, and then with the pandemic, you know, they would say, you know, I'm just in the paranormal, you know, I can't alienate people, or, you know, I'm just going to not talk about stuff, et cetera. But like, these things don't have to be like explicitly political. Like all this stuff is filtering into everything and like poisoning everything. And it's going to be really, really hard to stay on the fence about stuff and not
It is. And I think like, I care, I mean, like, and I don't know why I care about like high strangeness and Fortiana so much, but I do. And I have my whole life, but like, I will say, I do think there is a way to decipher the good from the bad. And it takes work, you know, and dedication. Yeah. And probably most people don't want to put that much effort into it, but like, I feel very comfortable with the information I get about this stuff, simply because I'm not getting it from TikTok and like an algorithm. Because I'm old school. I read books, you know, and like, you know, and so I'm also like, you know, not made of money. So before I buy a book, I read reviews. I, you know, either have heard the author speak or something like that. But like, you're totally right, Serfiel. I think like it makes me sad too, because topics that I love are being infiltrated by just this, you know, vitriol and garbage. And it is sad to see. Like, I wish there was like a TikTok that was like, it had like good high strangeness information, but like, there's not going to be, like you said, because it's going to be tainted by this stuff. And that's sad for me, because like, young people, when I was young, I read UFO books. I read Tim Good's book when I was 12, read Communion and all those things. But I don't think people read books like we did when we were growing up. So they're going to get it from TikTok, and their first impression is going to be so bad, you know, like,
yeah, it's a mess.
It's a mess.
It really is a mess. I don't know how you can unpolarize. Everyone's so siloed off. It's like, how can you need well, it's funny, because Adam said, you know, this all started with TikTok, and it's like, yeah, you can say that, but I think, like, even if you pull the camera back a little bit further, it's like, it all started with that fucking pandemic, dude. It's like,
if
licensed to be shitty, then the pandemic had a whole different effect on society, where it was like, now people who, they just had a lot of free time. They just, and they were confused and frightened, and they had fucking internet access, and they had a shitload of time on their hands, and it fucked up a lot of people.
It did. It,
you know,
still is. We're
seeing that now.
The time we have left. So I just want to mention that back in, I know. Well, 90 seconds to
midnight. Are you killing us, Tim and I, after this?
Yeah. So, I want to talk about the time we have left and what we hope to accomplish.
For the show. Anyway, we here in Nashville, actually in our local area here, there was the Reawaken America Conference came to Nashville, to specifically Mount Juliet, and caused a whole bunch of traffic problems. And this was at a church here with a pastor that is very well known, that has caused a lot of issues and problems. And but it was interesting I mean, I'm not really going to go into it too much, but you know, I sent you about Jim Brewer, the comedian.
Yeah,
I guess that's in quotations. But you know, this is something that's right up your alley, Steve, and I wanted to get your thoughts on this. Yes. So this is a whole new thing, is like these comedians, you know, I mean, like Rogan is one, is a comedian too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And of course. You know, so that's how he started. And so, you know, this has become a new thing where like a lot of them are really embracing that same kind of bro culture.
Yeah. I can tell you something kind of interesting too, that I did not know him, but when I was first kind of starting out in LA, in, you know, what they called it, alternative comedy, because we were doing not like club comedy, or, you know, we weren't doing comedy for tourists, I guess. We were doing comedy for comedians, and they called it alternative comedy simply because we perform in like laundromats at 2 a.m. or these kind of like pop-up clubs. But back in those kind of the early 2000s, 2003, 2004, Gavin McGinnis, from the guy who's like, you know, isn't he credited with creating the Proud Boys?
Yeah.
He was like a wannabe. He was this guy who I think had a lot of money, and he was like just going up to different comedians. And I probably was around him, but I just don't remember. But he was like in the comedy scene as this guy who wanted to be a producer. He wanted to like find this talent and like make like little web videos. And everyone was kind of like skeptical of him, probably for a good reason. But he failed really hard in like in LA trying to be like a Hollywood producer. And then what does he do? He goes and starts his Proud Boy movement. And kind of since then, there has been, I mean, like, I don't want to name names because I don't want to like attack people's, like, I don't want to, you know, I'm not trying to be controversial in comedy, but like, you can easily find out for yourself. There is so many comedians who felt they got slighted by Hollywood, didn't get the sitcom they deserve, got rejected by SNL at the last second, who find their second life in right-wing comedy.
Yeah.
And it is a real thing. Like, I know two people, one guy who I used to perform in the theater with, he was basically kicked out of the comedy scene because he assaulted two girls, one of which I know personally. And he definitely did it. And now he's touring the world as a right-wing comedy person. And he goes with like a couple other like right-wing comics. They make tons of money and sell out huge places all over the country. And they found like a bigger career with kind of performing to these bros. And these bros eat it up. Like really, really, really like stomach turning for me to see.
Yeah, that's kind of the flip side of the cancel culture stuff. Like there's actually this entire alternative thing that's coming out now that just encourages stuff instead of, you know, there being some like objectionable stuff to somebody in it. Now it's like, that's the point now.
Yep. Yep.
Right.
And the sad thing is that clubs across the country are going bigger and bigger and more prestigious, whatever, quote unquote, prestigious comedy clubs are going to be financially pushed to have shows, these kinds of shows. And it will, I mean, like, you know, comedy is trend based. And this right now is like a trend. It's still sort of underground. Like a lot of people probably don't know about this, but like you were using as an example, Jim Brewer. I mean, he's a pretty big comedian. Not a good one. Like,
yeah, well, I mean, you know, he was on SNL. He's been in quite a few movies.
He's definitely like a
celebrity. What's that weed movie? That's the only Half Baked. We have to give him his flowers for Half Baked.
Right. he's huge, but like he for a while has been super misogynistic and super like.
Right.
Anti, like, you know, women's rights of anything. He's a very, like, old school Tim Allen type guy, you know, like, you know.
Well.
Making the caveman sound and, like, you know.
I do wonder how much of that, too, is kind of like what I was saying about, like, this fit sort of like they feel like they're getting squeezed out or whatever, especially like in the world of comedy.
Yeah.
It's like it used to be super male dominated and now it's. Quite a spectrum of different people,
which is
and different ethnicities. It used to be just like all white dudes and like maybe one lady,
which is what really made stand up so boring. Like I don't really consume much comedy, and I never really have. I mean, obviously I like and I know about it and I'm involved with it, but like it's not like the genre. It's not my go to genre. But the new voices and like the, you know, diversity of voices is the best thing that's ever happened to comedy
right.
by far, because for years it was white dudes like talking about, hey, traffic, man. Right.
Yeah.
Hey, you ever pick up a girl, you know, like it yeah. was so boring. It was so formulaic. And I don't know. It's really like, it's been a wonderful thing. And you're right. These dudes feel like they're getting squeezed out.
Right,
so they
right.
do these reactionary things. And
yeah. Cause all they have is like, just boring material otherwise, so they're and like
yeah it's just, it's the most unintelligent yeah. it's such base level comedy where it's like, you know, everyone loves dick and fart jokes, right? But like that's all it is. It's like they're just right, giving right. you like, you know, there's no like, there's no substance behind their stuff, you know.
Yeah
Oh man, well, I mean, I just want to, you know, hit it home that there's an alternative, you know, and especially with all this masculinity stuff, the, you know, one of the biggest masculine values that I can think of is not being somebody's fool. That's pretty masculine.
Yeah.
Not right. being manipulated by another man to believe in bullshit yeah. that he's selling you. I mean, how's that?
Yeah.
And that's a masculine value that I think is some of these people should think about, because they are yeah. being mentally fucked and dominated by yep. other people. And that's, yeah. you know,
they're very weak minded, even though they claim to like, and that's the whole like Proud Boy thing. It's like lift weights and read books. Like, you know, I mean, like, you know, it's like they're like these, and cause that's kind of like, and whatever you want to think about Joe Rogan, I'm not here to judge Joe Rogan. He's not for me, but like, whatever, you know, like I don't begrudge him for having a podcast and making a living, you know, like, I feel like people should be able to talk about whatever they want. It's just not for me. But he did put this kind of like, hey, let's mix masculinity and kind of bite-sized intellectualism into a blender and see what we get. And that's right. kind of what he did, because like there is this kind of like veneer of like, we're talking about really deep stuff, you know, like, and getting to the bottom of it, but they're not, like, you know, like I used to listen to it, and sometimes I'd be like, I'm like, what? It's like, these are just a bunch of like stoner bros sitting around speculating like in a college dorm room.
Exactly.
But yeah. people, millions of people are taking it like, oh my God, yeah. these guys are geniuses, and they took the red pill and they see through it all.
Right.
I just don't know how you can buy it so easily. You know, it's like you said, Sergio, it's amazing that part of this misogynistic thing is thinking like, I'm nobody's fool. Well, my friend, I got news for you. Yeah, man, that's a great point.
Yeah, and I think it's a lot of unhappy dudes who,
oh, yeah.
like, they aspire to be like this Tate dude or you they know. Do. That Later. Or Joe Rogan or whatever, and it's like, but they're like the furthest thing from, you know, they're kind of like incels, a lot of them,
yeah,
and that
yeah.
kind of thing.
That's so, I mean, I don't know about Rogan, but I know that, you know, Andrew, yeah, no,
I'm not making a sweeping generalization, right, yeah. you know,
yeah,
people,
yeah. yeah but I will, but I will say that Andrew Tate definitely attracts a lot of incel guys,
yeah,
because
yeah.
they look up to someone like him,
well, you know.
Because like, because he pulls women.
And it's so bizarre, because it's like, how are you going to emulate this fucking professional kickboxer dude with a Lamborghini?
Yeah.
It's like that guy in your basement.
Well,
yeah, like, you know, maybe you should try to emulate, I don't know, fucking Joe well,
Seth they Rogan. Think they're going to be rich like Seth Elon Rogan Musk, too.
So. Yeah. What you could accomplish, little troll man.
Like, yeah. How did everyone think that they were going to have gold? How did everyone think they were going to have gold toilets?
Yep,
exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that's the same. It's the same thing. It's the same mentality. You know, I mean, that's why they love Elon Musk, even though, right, you know, right. he inherited his wealth from his father's diamond mines.
Yep.
But there are people out there in their 20s and 30s, young men, that believe I can be just like
yep.
Elon
yep.
Musk.
You know, in a lot of this stuff, I, like, I actually like, and this is probably such a tired old way to look at things, but I look at like the biggest like trend based problems and things like the bro movement and conspiracy theory run amok as problems with capitalism. And I don't want to get political, but like economics play a role on yeah. literally oh, yeah, sure. every facet of our life. And we all know, if you're, you know, have half a mind now, capitalism has absolutely just accelerated to an untenable point right now. And there is this culture in the entertainment business and real estate where it's grab, grab, grab while the ship is going down. Take, yeah. take, take. Just get yours. You hear all these people say, like, get yours while everything's barely holding on. And that's, you know, I'm afraid to say, like, I really believe, like, economics is, you know, the yeah. the disparity in wealth and all this stuff is, like, it is the biggest factor as I see it, you know. It always, I think you can't overlook it, you know. So even yeah. though it's not a very sexy way to look at the problem, but, you know, it's
you just prove time. that you're a soy boy Marxist to the world.
I'm probably closer to that than them, you know.
So. I think that's to play the old man, but yeah, when I first started interviewing Jim Mars, that was kind of like the one thing I really took away from his early stuff was like, it's not, it's just rich and poor. That's yeah. all you fucking have to realize. It's like, and the rich just want to make sure that all the poor people are fighting amongst each other yeah. over sex and sexual preference and color of skin. Yeah. Just, they divide us up into all these little groups. But really what we all fucking have in common is we're getting fucked by yeah. the rich people.
Yeah.
And it's like,
there's a conspiracy for you.
Right. Yes, there you go. That's reality. That's a belief yeah. system as far as I'm concerned.
If that's a conspiracy, that is one I will say I, you know, think has a lot of like validity to it, because I do think like the more chaos and distractions they create for the working class and poorer people, the safer they are from, you know, us coming to eat them. You know, like
from the pitchforks. Because if
you
look,
you know, like America certainly is not the first superpower. So, you know, we know how the story goes. They don't last forever.
Right. Well, look at it this way, dude. You got like a group of people on one side of the street and a group of people on the other side of the street, and they're arguing about fucking drag queen story hour. And the price of eggs is like $20 a dozen. Yeah. It's like, they should be able to get together. And yeah. like, no, we can't even realize we this. Can. And the fucked up, I guess what, you know, I feel like I've like broken out of the fucking bubble, because it's like, I just kind of treat everybody the same, man. I'm just, I guess I'm like super liberal or whatever, because I just see it as there's the rich people and the poor, like yeah. the poor people. That's how it breaks down, man. That's pretty much how it is.
I think you see the point is that what they're doing is like, give them distractions to fight over so that, you know, so they won't come after us.
So
that's usually what it's really class struggle has just been, I mean, it you know, never really truly was a thing in this country.
Yeah.
But in some ways it was, but you know, it's really become, it's not the focus anymore.
Right.
And this anti-establishment so-called, you know, emerging culture is really just serving the establishment.
Absolutely. It is making them money hand over fist.
Yeah,
like you're so right. And so, like, you know, it's like I'm saying, and I know it's not like the most like the sexiest way to look at this stuff, but I do think economics is probably the biggest factor in all of this, you know. So
yeah,
you know. Well, all right, guys, we want to thank these two cool
bros,
laid back, discerning, still interested in the mysteries, still willing yes. to question official consensus, bros, Berg and Banal.
Yeah.
Well, we'll end by what we usually do. Tell Mr. Berg, we'll start with you. Tell everybody what's going on with you and where people can find you.
Yes. Just, you know, hard at work applying my trades. And I have some things I'm going to be doing in this kind of a sphere pretty soon. So you'll be able to find out more about that on my social medias at Bergmaster5000. Thank you. Thanks for having me on. I really enjoyed it, fellas.
Absolutely. Anytime. We love having you.
And I love being on.
Mr. Banal.
Well, first of all, I'm going to do my own Bobby the Brain Heenan impression and talk about Steve Berg. Because Steve Berg is going to be at the Van Meter Mystery Festival at the end of September.
Yeah.
All you humanoids.
Yeah.
And, I may actually, I don't know if I can, I don't know if I'm still invited, Steve. You've now,
yes,
now your talent. So I don't know if. But we had talked about me flying out to Nebraska and us driving out.
I would love you to do that.
I'm definitely, it's kind of penciled in right now.
So good. Please do. It is truly a wonderful, wonderful little gathering.
I've wanted to go for a long time. And
they do a great job. It's really wonderful. Steve Ward was the MC last year, and a bunch of good speakers and really great people. So,
yeah. So, Steve Ward will be there. I'm thinking about going, and that's the end of September in Van Meter,
Iowa.
That's
good. Fairly close to Des Moines.
Yeah. As far as what I'm doing, it's just hunting and pecking. Like once I kind of get off my ass and really get the technology going to try this new setup for Banal America, then I think we'll be off to the races. So
I'll look forward to that.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, very much.
Yeah, I think I'm going to probably do a lot of secret tinkering and then just kind of blast, just one day be like, oh shit, here we go. And I want all the shit to be running, like, so I'm not trying to do it and figure it out. So I'll sort of pull the curtain back a little bit for people who want to give a fuck about how the sausage is made. But it's like, I had kind of thought like it'd be cool to do this tinkering like in December or whatever, and then would come back, have a show like with Greg Bishop, do our year in review, and then be like, oh, here's five more shows that I taped in the last month to test out this shit. So I may end up, sometime in April, I might be like, April 1st, here's a show, and then be like, oh, yeah, here's 10 more that I've just done over the last 2 months while we figured out how to set up this shit. But I love podcasting. I love this process. But the old way of doing it just became so tedious. And the adopting the new technology became so daunting that I've been kind of caught in this purgatory here for like the last few years. So now it's just like, I'm just kind of fed up and I want to just bite the bullet and get it so I can do shows with the ease that like you guys are doing the show tonight. Like it's not difficult. It's just, I need to have the buttons and shit and then all the setup. So, that's my hope because there's a ton of people I want to talk to, through you guys included. I want to do shows with all you guys and
get this man the buttons.
We'll do it.
Yeah. I would say I don't want to make every time I'm like, oh, we'll be back on Valentine's Day. It's like next thing you know, it's St. Patrick's Day. But, I'm hoping in the spring we'll have something for you.
As long as it falls right by the holiday, Tim.
Always. We got to hit the holidays special hard.
I mean, you always know your St. Patrick's Day shows, so.
That might be a new tradition.
We look forward to that, Tim, and we look forward to talking with you guys soon.
Absolutely.
This is a pretty nice little panel we got. We might have to revisit having Berg and Banal together here.
Oh,
yeah. It's like Morgan
and Morgan. Love it. We do a two-man show, so
yeah.
Look for us in the Catskills this summer.
Exactly. Oh, I also want to mention, Steve put up a video. Have you done more of the videos?
I have. I'm editing. I have a ton of footage.
Okay.
I'm trying to edit. It's just been tough with like work and then.
We'll call it a soft launch. He put out a video.
Soft launch. Yeah.
Yeah. Was it Van Meter?
Was Van Meter. It was my little like day at Van Meter. I had a really fun time. It was
really cool.
Yeah. I was just walking around with a GoPro, like getting people's faces. I'm surprised they asked me to come speak. I thought I was annoying everybody, but
there you go.
I'm not.
But thanks for having us, guys. I really appreciate it. I don't do shows very often, and I don't have my own show at the moment. So it's nice to be able to talk about all the shit that's going on in the world. I really don't have an outlet for it. So
that was a great conversation.
Thanks for being on, guys. And everybody, Conspiranormal, conspiranormal.com. We have the YouTube channel and we have a Patreon, which Sergio can tell you how to look for that. We have some things up there, but I guess we'll get some stuff up there pretty soon.
You can find that at patreon.com/conspiranormal.
All right. Yeah. If you want to support us, go hit that up. There's plenty of stuff on there going by way back to 2016. And I want to thank Steve Berg and Mr. Tim Banal. And we'll see you guys in a couple of weeks, actually, on the next episode of Conspiranormal.
Wait, can we all say Conspiranormal together like that?
Yes.
Yeah.
On the next episode of
Conspiranormal.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.